This is MergerCast by Booz Allen Hamilton, a podcast exploring the world of mergers, acquisitions, and restructurings.
Welcome to episode 3 of MergerCast by Booz Allen Hamilton. I'm Farrell Kramer. I'm your host. The topic for this episode is the importance of information technology integration to merger success. Our guest is Tom Casey, a vice president of Booz Allen who focuses on IT. Tom, together with Booz Allen Senior Vice President Jerry Adolph, recently wrote an article for CIO Insight titled, Why IT Integration is Critical to Merger Success. In it, they write that senior management tends to approach IT integration in a perfunctory, arm's-length manner. This, the article says, both tempts fate and misses out on the benefits a well-planned and effectively executed IT integration can bring. The writers discuss just why this tends to happen and lay out some suggestions for avoiding major IT integration mistakes. In our interview, Tom expands upon these points and provides additional detail. It is a fascinating look at merger integration from the IT perspective. Let's go to our interview.
MergerCast by Booz Allen Hamilton.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Farrell.
Why don't we just start off with the basic questions and it will get trickier as we go on.
Sounds good.
The article you and Jerry wrote for CIO Insight argues that a lack of appropriate attention to the integration of IT operations during a merger can put the entire transaction at risk. First off, can you explain what is generally included in this IT integration?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, the IT remit includes the strategy, which is how do we approach the merger? How do we design an organization that can support it in the IT function, of course? The selection of key business systems, combination of infrastructure, ensuring that the day one operations go off as planned, and then finally the detailed planning and execution of systems integrations. And it covers the full soup to nuts in terms of what's included in a corporate portfolio, which would include the general and administrative systems like HR, finance, and other systems, manufacturing, production, supply chain, sales, marketing, vendor and partner connections, and then, of course, the infrastructure.
I see. And what precisely is the danger if IT operations are not integrated properly?
Well, given the importance of IT to almost every business and every business function, the integration of IT is fundamental to realizing much of the value of most mergers. Good IT integration not only saves costs and complexity in the systems arena, but it also, a lot more importantly, allows synergies to be captured elsewhere. For instance, the unified sales force, consolidated operations, better supply chain management and sourcing. The flip side of it is poor IT integration can add cost and complexity, prevent reduction in duplication, make integration of information systems difficult, and create confusion in the marketplace through duplication of systems and customer interfaces.
You're right that one of the reasons IT integration is not always done well is that the benefits tend to be fairly long-term. Why does this take longer than other areas of the merger integration?
Well, IT is an area that has a long tail to it. What you have is a set of decisions that need to be made, and those decisions can often be made at least at a high level at the same pace as the rest of the business. But then you have a series of much more detailed questions that take some longer time to answer. And then, of course, you have the process of getting it all done, which takes even longer still. And so the process of taking a look at all those things and actually getting to conclusion takes longer than say, integrating a sales force would. When you actually have to put together customer and product data in a unified system, the lead time for that, you know, actually getting it all done can be 18 months to, even a three-year horizon on very difficult integrations.
Another reason you cite for subpar IT integration is the large investment it often requires. How big can this investment be, and why not just spend the money in order to capture large savings down the road?
Well, the investment can be quite sizable, and when I say sizable, it of course varies depending on the size of the deal, but IT spends on these things in the hundreds of millions of dollars or even high hundreds of millions of dollars is not unheard of. And given the fact that a company's just recently spent money on the acquisition and the acquisition premium, it does dampen an appetite for further investment by the same company. It is... It is a decision that that folks often aren't ready to make right away. Spending the money, though, often does make sense, but one needs to be judicious about it, starting with what needs to be done right away, focusing on high-value opportunities, and then taking a look at the remainder of things that need to be done and triaging them appropriately based upon the value that they can create.
I see. And folks are generally nervous about undertaking this kind of effort?
They are. I mean, everyone has their horror stories that they can relate to in IT. Think of it from you've been around an opportunity and the project has taken longer than expected. It's cost more than expected. It was painful getting there. Everyone in modern management has these experiences somewhere in their collective memory, either direct experiences or as told to them by others. And as a result, thinking about these things, tackling these things kind of right away with the level of precision that's required is often a difficult thing that folks are often hesitant to get into. There's some natural reluctance to sort of jump into it right away, especially with all the other things that happen in a merger environment. Lots of moving pieces, lots of decisions to be made, lots of organizational angst to be wrestled with to take on systems decisions in the same time frame is often something that folks don't want to do right away.
I see. And some of your statistics go pretty far toward proving, however, that it is important. You write that 40% of any merger synergy capture is related to IT, with 15% coming from IT directly, and then 25% from business operations where savings are dependent upon IT. Now, this 25% seems like a very large number. Can you provide some examples of exactly where it comes from?
Sure. Well, firstly, let's start with synergies. Synergies are created when like functions of companies are combined, creating efficiency and scale and scope. So more people can do, the same amount of people can do similar work, when spread over a higher transaction volume. And IT, in order to get that scale and scope, IT is often a critical enabler for the functions.
Mm-hmm.
So Salesforce integration, effective cross-selling, common and consistent and efficient, general and administrative processes, common manufacturing and supply chain methods, contact centers, and increasingly a consolidated view of the customer. In order to get that scale and that scope and the efficiencies associated with it, you really have to have high quality and supportive underlying systems. And IT obviously plays a big and important part there. In addition, IT itself, which is the spend that an IT organization has as part of a company, as a percentage of sales, depending upon your industry, runs from 2% of sales to 10% of sales. And so getting the one set of systems and processes and infrastructure creates efficiency and allows you to service two companies with that amount of spend rather than having it done twice.
Mm-hmm. The CIO Insight article begins with the story of a botched integration in the 1996 merger of the Union Pacific and Southern Pacific Railroad companies. How is it that management teams continue to make mistakes in the same area 10 years later?
It's an interesting question. You would have expected the market to get smarter about these issues, but even 10 years later, some of the lessons learned haven't fully cascaded to all companies. At a starting point, merging companies is still very hard. Often executives are inexperienced and fail to pay enough attention to IT as either an enabler of a good merger experience or a disruptor mm-hmm. of a merger experience. It is because, I think, in part, because IT decisions can sometimes be postponed without immediate consequences, and as a result, they often are. When you're merging two sales forces, it's very important that you identify the organizations, you identify what the incentives are, you identify what products are going to be sold, and you identify who covers which customer. Well, those decisions can't be postponed. They're top of mind of executives. IT decisions, unlike that, often can, we can wait 6 months. We can continue to use two systems. We can postpone those decisions. So often you have the effect of postponing decisions, and as a result, the IT performance suffers and eventually gets forgotten about as running the business and the imperatives that that implies take center stage. An additional reason is that in terms of the experience management, is that there are times that the strategy and or the acquisition groups leading the deal don't consider the IT ramifications in as much depth or with as much seriousness as they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things together, right? The other pressing priorities, inexperienced management, and sometimes the focus of the strategy and M&A groups lead to an experience where IT is de-emphasized and comes back to haunt the experience in ways that it wasn't intended to.
Interesting. In the article, you write about three reasons or typical errors that can generate this kind of poor IT integration. The first one, IT solutions of an interim nature are one of the areas that you cite as a common integration mistake. Should IT managers just stop and think twice whenever they're considering a Band-Aid approach to an integration issue?
Yeah, I think it is a very good idea to take some pause and to evaluate the options before opting for an interim solution. IT issues are really a pay-me-now or pay-me-later proposition. If you accept an interim solution and it's thoughtful and considered, then that's probably okay. But often that thoughtfulness isn't applied, and for expediency's sake, an interim solution is put in place, and as a result, inefficiencies are put in place, and therefore, can't be recovered, right? The 2 or 3 years or 4 years that an inefficient system is put in place, the duplication of effort implied there can't be recovered. Finally, interim IC solutions, often don't address long-term issues,
mm-hmm.
and they tend to be a failure point that occurs over time.
Adopting the dominant merger partner systems is another typical error you outline. How does one avoid this?
Well, this is an area of letting the facts speak for themselves. The best approach is a fact-based evaluation of solutions and choosing the solution then based upon that evaluation. Evaluation should include systems characteristics such as scalability, stability, sufficient functionality, interoperability with other systems, its underlying architecture, the cost structure it implies. Reasons other than the factual evaluation should really not enter the equation, right? It's understandable that they may, but frankly, you're making a bet on a capability that a company needs to have, to service it now and for years in the future. And making the wrong call, it's going to lead to inefficiencies perhaps soothe some short-term hard decision-making, but longer-term it's going to be something that's going to have to be lived with. Finally, companies that are very good at choosing systems usually establish a case-to-beat proposition up front. They'll take a position on which system is likely going to be the dominant system,
mm-hmm.
Put a proposition in place that it's the case-to-beat, but if the facts indicate otherwise, they're open and willing to entertain a discussion about whether an alternate solution is better, more appropriate.
I see. And as a third typical integration mistake, you say middle and back office integration is often underestimated. Why is this area so tricky?
Well, it's really a phenomena that happens in organizations that are significantly dependent upon IT. For instance, insurance, healthcare, telco, and financial services, where the platforms, their interdependencies, and their impact on resulting processes and labor efficiency are very significant. And until those platforms are reconciled, they create a drag on efficiency of an organization. And IT in these particular, these particular industries and these particular companies and in these particular functions is where it's at its most complex. It can be rife with redundancy and fragmentation. For example, adjudication platforms in healthcare and insurance can span, many, 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 pages of definition of specificity in terms of how they work, what switches they set, how the flow of business, enters one partner system and results in a particular outcome for a customer. And ignoring the differences between these and postponing that is inevitably something that is going to have to be wrestled with later. It is, in our experience, better to be thoughtful about what the right answer is going to be there longer term and to think and put it on the table as a discussable item of something that's going to have to be wrestled with and identifying the appropriate time to wrestle with it.
So basically, they're just tricky areas to begin with in an integration that makes it even harder.
Yeah, they're very, very tricky areas. Sometimes folks think that if they can just handle the customer layer, that they're done with it. It's not often the case.
Okay. Within a merging organization, which executive should be the one looking after the IT integration and working to avoid these kinds of problems? Should it be the individual who will be the merged company's CIO, the CEO personally, some sort of committee?
Good question. There's no single answer to this, but in general, it should be a senior executive who can steward an impartial process, but certainly not a democratic process. It's helpful if this individual will eventually take ownership of IT systems and changes, or has visibility and or is a significant stakeholder in what the outcomes need to be.
Mm-hmm.
This individual can be assisted by a steering committee or committees of the company's senior key executives to help with the process, but inevitably, point accountability for this process needs to be established. I don't think the CEO personally should steward this effort. It's certainly a senior management issue, but it's not a CEO personally type issue.
As a last question, how early in the merger process must the IT integration planning take place, and at what point is it too late to put the effort on track?
Great question. In the ideal world, it is about 3 months before a deal is consummated, and that's to allow sufficient time to ferret out if the deal makes sense at a high level from a business perspective, and then allow some of the functions to have their say in terms of how they're going to pull this off and if they see any issues. So part of the due diligence process, 3 months before deal confirmation, perhaps a bit sooner. Realistically, anytime, at the merger, shortly before it, shortly afterwards, is an appropriate time to do it. In fact, it's never really too late to get in here and do this. We've talked before about it's a pay me now or pay me later proposition.
Mm-hmm.
The work will wait. It doesn't go away. And as a result, it's going to have to be wrestled with at some point. In our opinion, the sooner that can be done, the better the results are and the more informed the decision-making process is.
Okay. Tom, well, that's my last question. Fascinating topic. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts.
Thanks, Farrell. Take care.
MergerCast by Booz Allen Hamilton.
That concludes our interview with Tom Casey. IT integration clearly plays an important role in determining merger success. I'm struck in particular by the statistic Tom highlighted, that 40% of any merger synergy capture is related to IT. A very significant number indeed. Thank you for listening to Episode 3 of MergerCast by Booz Allen Hamilton. We've got a number of interesting episodes coming up, so please stay with us as we continue to explore the world of mergers, acquisitions, and restructurings.
This has been MergerCast by Booz Allen Hamilton. For more information on Booz Allen's service offerings in mergers and restructurings, please visit www.boozallen.com.